Psalm 107. You need to sing that next weekend for the veterans thing too. It'd be good. I believe we just won. That's a warm up for next week as well. Psalm 107. I was going to preach this morning, and I think I know why God moved it to tonight. First of all, this morning's message was for this morning for the people that were here. But I really believe that this is kind of a microscope. You go down a couple more lenses, and it's more detailed in who he's talking to tonight. And I'm going to probably say some things and magnify some things in here that what we're talking about. One thing we're really talking about: being a believer in Jesus Christ. Okay, and we're going to talk about being a believer in Jesus Christ and going through some things with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit that are hard. And I'll talk about it later on, but I had some news this week that kind of rocked my world, you know. And this is the reason why I read the Word. I read the Word, and everybody says, well, because you're a preacher. No, God gives me messages, and a lot of times they're nowhere near where I'm reading. For that time, my reading is just for me. I read just because I want God to speak to me first, because I can't speak to you if you don't speak to me. But I went through my daily Bible reading. I lead a group through this reading, and I went ahead a couple chapters in the Psalms, and I found Psalm 105, which was really good because it reminds us that Jesus brought us out of bondage and slavery. It's just repetitive how God brought, how he defeated Egypt, which is literally like our sin and the devil, and he brought us out through his strength. And so then I said, well, I'm going to read on to 106. And then I read on to 107, and when I got to 107, God spoke to me because I needed speaking to. Amen? And that's why I always encourage you to really read the Bible and pray. But let me say it this way: you don't always have to understand what's going on. Amen. If you want some help right there, I read stuff sometimes. My ADHD, whatever you call that, will kick in, and I will run past three chapters, and I'll go, if you ask me right now with a lie detector what I just read, I'd be like, I have no idea. And then sometimes the light comes on. The story opens up, the heavens shine down, and he just gives me something. And I needed it at that time. But it's the faithfulness of praying. It's the faithfulness of going to church. It's the faithfulness of opening your Bible and reading it and saying, God, I just want to know more about you. Amen? So with that being said, Psalm 107, and let's start at about verse 21. Now go back and read the whole psalm. It'll do you good. But we're going to get into some stuff. Are y'all ready? I'm so excited. Man, I love the Word of God, and I love how it helps you when it needs to help you. 21, verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Don't forget to praise God. I know it's simplified, oversimplified, but when you're going through a tough time, when it seems like all has, you wonder where God is. You're wondering what God's doing. Praise Him anyway. And what I mean by praise Him, remind yourself where you came from. There's been times in my life, I'm sitting there going, my God, where did I come from? Yes, I'm going through a trial right now. Yes, I'm being tested. Yes, God's really, really seems like He's just letting me go through something that I don't want to go through. But where did He find me? Oh my God, where did He find me? I was a liar, a manipulator, an adulterer at heart, a fornicator. I mean, goodness gracious, I was a grade A liar. I was a grade A thief. I was a grade A, I mean, everything about me was wretched. And when God found me, He saved me by His grace and called me out of that darkness. And I bad it is. So when you got saved, you got to remind yourself of where, if you had died in your sin, you would spend eternity in hell. But now you get to spend eternity in heaven. Thank God. I love that verse. Everybody quotes it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And a lot of people, they leave the first few verses off. They don't get that in context. They're hoping to win the ball game. They're hoping to get the good parking lot down at the mall or the Walmart. And all that's good. They're hoping to defeat something that's pretty tough. But Paul said, I've learned how to be abased and I've learned how to abound. He said, hey, listen, there's some people sitting in this very room. There's some of you in here that do good when bad things happen. Whew. I don't know who you are, but I like you. Amen. When tough times hit, all of a sudden your mind locks in. You get to rocking and rolling, and you take charge, and you go through it, and that's good. But guess what? You don't do good when you're being blessed. That was me and my ministry the first 5 years. Everything going good, I'd find something to be in trouble, right? There's got to be a fire to put out. Can you not just relax and enjoy? That's one of the hardest things to do as a preacher, is just to relax and say, thank God I'm on the mountaintop right now. I know that I could be going into a valley soon, but thank God for this mountaintop experience. Some of you do good in the valley, but you don't do good on the mountaintop. And there's some of you that don't do good in the valley. I mean, as soon as you get in the valley, you just lose your mind. It's all right. God knows who you are. He knows you. That's the good thing about it. You know your kids. God knows His kids. He knows when you're going to, He knows there's going to be some whining, there's going to be some tantrums, there's going to be some words being said, but He knows you're His child. Aren't you glad God knows that? Man, I'm glad God ain't must. He don't go, okay, Kevin, I want you to totally change, and I want you to be different than who you really are at your heart. I love you for being you. Now, He changed me from my sin. He's making me a new creature, but He loves me just the way I am. My God, that's good. When God saved me, He didn't say, I want another one of you. I'm going to reduplicate you. No, He wants your passions, your fears, your desires, your experiences, who you are, and He wants to use that for His glory, and He knows exactly who you are. So it helps you to stop trying to be everything everybody else wants you to be or everybody that you think you should be. Look at every Christian, they're going, I wish I was more like her. I wish I was more like him. He's so, whatever. God made you. He designed you. And you got to remind, if He didn't want somebody like you, He wouldn't have went after you the way He went after you by the Holy Spirit of God to save you, and He wouldn't give you His grace and mercy, and you wouldn't be sitting right here tonight. So stop. Just say, thank you, God. Especially when you're going through a tough time. Because God didn't ever promise you that you're going to live forever down here. He didn't ever promise you that everything's going to go great. He just promised you that He was going to go with you. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. The only difference between us and them is we built different foundations. Amen? We've accepted the cornerstone, which is Christ, and we have a different foundation than the world has. But that don't mean the storm won't come, and that don't mean the rest of the house won't fall apart. I'll say that again if it didn't happen. That don't mean, hey, the storms won't come, and it don't mean the whole house. Amen? But you'll still have a foundation. You'll be standing there on Jesus Christ and thanking God for it. Because when everything else is gone, you'll say, thank God I still got Jesus. Because if without Him, I'd have been miserable. Amen? So don't forget to praise Him. And don't forget to remind yourself. And you want to get this one too. I didn't want to leave this part out. When you're dealing with people that you love, that's why it's important to minister the gospel to them. But if they're saved, remind yourself of where they were when God found them. Because the devil comes to me all the time and says, well, why is he letting this happen? Why is he letting this go on? And I'm like, you know what? I really don't know the answer to that, but God's God, and I don't think He's forgot anything. I don't think He forgets who your family is. I don't think He forgets where they're at and what they're doing. I don't think He's making any mistakes. Matter of fact, I believe He's the Alpha and the Omega. I believe He's the beginning and and the end. So if he's the beginning and the end, he's everything in the middle. So I can just trust. He ain't for God. Amen? I love it when Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I seen God high and lifted up on the throne. You know what he's saying? King Uzziah had a long kingdom, a long reign. But he was just a mortal king, and he died. You know what he was saying? God's always on the throne. How many kingdoms will rise and fall? God will be sitting on the throne going, I'll be here at the end like I was in the beginning. He said his train filled the room. You know what that means? That meant his kingdom, he couldn't find the end of it. And those angels were going through saying, holy, 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 that the post, listen, in heaven right now, there are angels that just worship God because they know in the worship is the answer. In the worship there is the fire. In the worship there is that sweet spirit of God that even though you don't feel right, you can worship him and it'll be right. Man, there's times when you just got to worship him despite how you feel. Aren't you always amazed how those two words start with the same letter? Feelings and faith. Man, I do it all the time. I don't feel. Then I'll start saying, man, why don't I get that out of my vocabulary? Just worship him. And then I can get to my faith. Because if I can worship him, he inhabits the praise of his people. Then he can get in my praise and my feelings change. Amen. Amen, preacher, that's good. I'll need that. And if you don't need this message right now, if you don't need this message, you're sitting here going, brother, I'm doing great. Just wait. Just wait. And one day we'll be sitting here going, that really don't apply to me. And guess what? One day you'll be sitting there going, man, I need to praise him despite of how I feel. Despite of how I feel. And let them, listen to this, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Sacrifices of thanksgiving. You don't think those are thanksgiving. I don't assume them or put those together, sacrifice and thanksgiving. I don't put them together. You just think when you're thankful for something, you don't think that's a big sacrifice. Until you're being tried by your flesh, the devil, everything's upside down in your world, the things that you always counted on, all of a sudden they've shifted, and you're sitting there, and it is a sacrifice for you to praise him. Because those thoughts are not in your head, and those thoughts don't connect with your heart, and the heart doesn't produce the words, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when you're going through it all, and you're standing in the darkest places of life, you don't know how to praise. All you know how to do is say, what, why, how? Will you please explain where, when, God? Amen? But you know what? We're supposed to offer a sacrifice. A sacrifice is hard. A sacrifice is something that you don't want to give up. That's why it's called a sacrifice. I don't want to give him good words right now. I don't want to give him praise. But God wants you to praise him. He needs your praise. That's who we are. You've got to remind yourself, God, you're good. You've been good to me. I've not went without clothing. I've not went out without food. God, I've got 44 years in the bank. Man, I don't know how many years you got in the bank, but you need to remind yourself, hey, I'm doing better than I thought I was going to do. I could have died when I was in my teens. I could have died lost. I could have died before August 28 of 04. I could have died and I've been in hell for eternity. But despite that, you love me anyway. My life is not good. The outcome doesn't look good, but God, you're good. I tell you, you're good. You're good to me. You've been good to me. I trust you. Because when I had no peace, I got peace. When I had no love, I've got love. I just got to remind myself of the good, the little things that are really big things. See, before I met Jesus, I'll just go ahead and preach. I didn't even know what love was. I didn't. All love was to me is what can you give me and how can I be satisfied? Then it shifted. When I found his love, I said, love is what can I do for you? How can I help you? And I don't care if I ever get anything in return. It's just good to see you do good. Man, that's the kind of love that you never knew. I just, when somebody comes back and says, man, I want to repay you. I want to do, and I say, you can't give me nothing. Seeing you walk, seeing you pray, seeing you married, seeing you in your right mind, seeing you just be here, seeing you in church, seeing, hearing from a distance you've done good. That's good enough. God's sitting there going, I love to see you. I remember where I found you. I came through the dark hills and the dark places and I found you. It's good to see you doing what you're doing. You don't think God ever leans over the glory, the poles of glory, and looks down and says, man, that's my child. Man, I remember where I found them. Now, we magnify and we blow up all of our failures and our shortcomings, but God doesn't. He's just like you. When you out on the grassy yards of your house and you see your kids doing something good, or if you just see them doing what they're doing, you just go, man, them's my kids. Golly, I'm proud of them. I love them. I died for them. You got to remind that God died for you. He paid more. He's got more invested in your salvation than you do. I hear Christians all the time, I don't know if God wants. Man, God, what do you mean? Don't know if He wants. God already did want to. I don't know if God wants to get in a service. He wants to get in every one of your services. He got on the cross, didn't He? When nobody else would die for you, He did. When nobody else would save you, He did. When nobody else said, forgive them, God, Father, I do. Guess what? He still wants to do that. We're arrogant sometimes. We think we got to do all the right stuff in church for God to show up. No, we just got to want Him to show up. What we got to do is we got to praise Him despite how we feel. We got to sacrifice those offerings of thanksgiving. That's why it's never failed. I've never come to a church and somebody sing that song talking about how thankful, the roof over my head, the food. It never fails. Whoever sings that, somebody's going to praise Him. Somebody will come to the altar. Somebody will all of a sudden the Bible will come on us. I'm not hungry. I got a roof over my head. Now I can find something wrong with that roof, but praise God, it's still there. My goodness. All of a sudden, you just need to say, wait a minute. God, I forgot. I forgot for a minute. Thank you for all the little things. Man, I think about stuff. How many days did you go healthy? How many times you got to walk in your kids' room and they're sitting there and they're not hooked up or something? My God. Because you go down to the hospital tonight, there's some parents probably sitting in some rooms praying that they just make it through another night. That the treatment takes hold. But every night you walk by yours and you say, man, they're up again. Oh. Me, because there'll be a time in your life. Some of you older folks should just pray. There'll be a time in your life you would want them to run in your. You'd want them to pray. You'd want them to be upset. You just love them to say, man, I miss these days. I remember when they used to reach over and grab you by the hand, say, walk me across the parking lot. Now they're just too cool for that. Thankful, it's a sacrifice sometimes. It's despite how you feel. You want to see God move in the biggest ways you've ever seen Him? Worship Him when you don't feel like it. And sometimes you just don't feel like it, and that's okay. God knows. Somebody told me one time, I'm mad at God. I've been upset with Him. Hey, you don't think He knows that? It's us that give superficial prayers. It's us that come in and tell, oh God, we love You and we train. It'd be all right if you ball up in the altar or maybe in your prayer closet and say, God, here's how I really feel. Deal with me. Help me. I guarantee David never had any problem with it. We got a whole book of Psalms that start out, oh God, I think You've messed up. You've let the enemy surround me and take over. But guess what? The longer you talk to God, I think it's a precept in there. If you draw Him out of me, I'll draw Him out of you. But if you're talking to Him, eventually He'll get you in line with what's going on. And it might start out as a complaint, but it'll end up in a praise. It might start out as a complaint, but it'll end up as a praise. Oh, Lord, You've let the enemy, You've let everybody get in on me. They're invading me. I'm going under. God will reveal Himself. Guess what? You ain't went under yet. Amen? Y'all good? We ain't even got two verses in. I was worried about this being a quick message. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. Underline that word, that do business. Amen? That do business. That ain't no happenstance. This ain't no, it ain't no cruise. It ain't something that just happened. You just didn't go get on the old Christian vessel. You just didn't get into church, have church. You've been called. You've been sanctified. You've been separated. You're a believer. Amen? Are you all right now? You got business. Amen? God's got business with you, and you got business with Him. And He sends you into the craziest places, the deepest parts of the waters. Have God ever took you out in deep waters? Amen? I always think about this. I'm like, golly, why in the world would He take you out in deep waters? Why does He take us out in deep spiritual waters sometimes? Because guess what? We're land dwellers. We're land dwellers. Because if we can stay on land, we'll find somehow to figure it out, to get some help, to talk to somebody, to rely on our own instincts and our own wit and ability. But guess what happens? God drives us out to the places that we ain't got a chance without Him. Amen. Get in the ship. We're going out in deep waters. You can't help but take yourself there, can you? Remember those disciples, those apostles, after they fed the 5,000, not counting women and children? There's a lot of people walking all the way from that deal, fat and happy. About 15,000 of them walking away, not counting women and children, about 5,000 men. They was all belly pooched out, ate all the fish and bread that they could handle, and they was like, thank you, Jesus, we'll see you. He said, you boys get in the boat. God, it looks like a storm could blow up at any time. This is not a good time to sail. You know, there was three fishermen in there, right? Maybe four. As four brothers had been raised. Hey, you know, this ain't a good time to go sailing. Could we possibly go with them? Because it looks like they're all getting off scot-free. And it seems like God's sending me to a trial when He's letting everybody else be happy and content and full. And it said He constrained them to get in the ship. That's a physical word for He wrestled you into the boat to send you out in deep waters. Have you ever felt like God is just pushing you into trouble? And in the kind of trouble that you can't get out of in your own strength and your own ways. That's where He's got these. And listen, you're as called. You're as called. You're as sanctified. You're as saved. You're a believer. You know Jesus. You got all the cliches. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. You could tell me every meeting, every revival. You could tell me every book of the Bible. But praise God, when you get pushed out into deep waters, sometimes it feels like you don't know anything. Be real. How'd we get here? Can't remember a scripture. Can't even remember one quote I'd make. I'd just quote my bumper sticker if I could remember what it said. Verse 24, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. You ever wondered why more people that get out in nature can't help but praise God? They'll get out. You take somebody in. Every time I've been in the deep, even when I was lost, I was out on a Navy vessel one time in the middle of the ocean, and I went out there and I looked off of that thing and I said, my God, there's a God in heaven. You'd have to be a fool to not see this. Sometimes you just get in a natural situation, but especially in the water, you realize God's a big God and we're very small. Amen? Very small. I was on the USS Fort McHenry. One time we got in and I had a top bunk. And back then, the bar that holds you in the bed is like gold. And one goofball in the Marine Corps thought it'd be a good idea to take my top bar. Whew. I'm not going to tell you what happened, but it wasn't good. But in the middle of the night, a storm blew up. We're on a ship that's three or four city blocks long. And here's the best way I can explain to you what it felt like. It felt like somebody had two hands on the back of the boat, picking it up and slamming it on the water. For about 3 or 4 hours. After a while, you start realizing that your bed in your bunk in the Navy vessel looks just like a casket. I'm serious. You got a well here, and you got a little thing that shuts, and you're sitting there like this. Like, man, we are already prefabricated for this. But I want you to know, all I could think of, even in my situation back then, I said, man, God, You're in control of me. I know You are. And even way out here in this sea, in the middle of nowhere, without no help, if this thing goes down, there's nothing I can do but rely on you. Amen? That's what God does. That's why He does it. That's why He pushes us into some storms sometimes, that we can only cling to Him, that we can only rely on Him. And He wants you to know that. But you need to write this down. Let's make sure we write this down before we go any further. Storms, trials, things that God puts you for are not a punishment because you are a bad Christian. That's easy to say, but not hard. It's hard to feel. No, never mind. That's easy to say, but it's hard not to feel. Because the first thing, when bad things happen, we say, God, what's wrong? I say, nothing wrong. I can trust you. There's nothing wrong. I can trust you. You're not going to go. You're not going to leave me. You're not going to curse me. You're not. I can trust you. Whew. And our Bible's chock full of it. Everybody that was tried, it wasn't God punishing them. It was God showing out through their life. And it's hard to explain. But guess what? God's working on a bigger plan than just us. And sometimes God has to push you in front of people that have never seen a Christian go through anything. They just know church folk. They've never seen anybody sit in a waiting room and pray through. They've never seen somebody that's having a situation and they look at them and say, what's going to happen? I don't know, but God's good. Amen? You're speaking to more people. And you're talking about people that are passing, people that are coming. And guess what? Sometimes they just need to see it. There's no other message. You're their epistle. You're their letter. You're the Bible that they're going to read that day. Amen? And God trusts you. It was hard to hear, ain't it? God trusts you enough to let you go through some of the hardest things you've ever been through in your life. There's some trophies in here. There's some people sitting in this room right now who you don't know their story. If you did, you'd be like, my goodness, what? Okay, let's go. They mount up to the heavens. No, let's go back to verse 25. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds which lift up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again the depths. Their soul is melted because of the trouble. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. My gosh. Anybody want to testify? You hear what I'm saying? There's going to be times that you are going to look a mess. Listen, I love the Bible. I love how it says it. You look like a drunk man walking on the ship. God, I wish we had some people in here, man. If they seen you at your worst time. And I'm not talking about the people who went through it. I'm talking about the people that had to sit on the outside and look and be helpless and couldn't do anything. People come and looked at you and said, what's wrong with you? I can't explain it. Listen how it said it. He's took me up and He's took me down. He's took me up. He's brought me down. Have you ever been through something that one minute you're crying and the next minute you're laughing? One minute you're so upset you don't know what to do. The next minute you're talking about a ham sandwich. Amen? Because that's how we are. We go up and we see mountains that we can't climb and we can't descend. And next thing you know, God takes us all the way to the bottom and God! Through the storm, I love you. You just got to remember that He loves you even through the storms, even through the trials. Man, the ups and the downs and everything in between of it. Some of y'all, you know what scares me? I'm preaching this. I preached a message here last Wednesday. I ate it the next day, Thursday. I'm serious. Now I'm weary. I'm weary. I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know if I want to say that. And then God said, it don't matter if you want to say it or not. You don't say it. Amen? Let's get back to that. I love this verse 27. They reel to and fro, and they stagger like drunken men, and at their wit's end. I looked that up. That wit's end, that means every, you know, you got certain faculties in your mind, how you were, every man in here need to know this, how you're going to fix it. You know, when you first, here's what we tell our wives all the time. Tell me what's wrong. I don't want to tell you what's wrong. Tell me what's wrong. No, because when I tell you what's wrong, then you're going to go trying to fix it. And I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to know what's wrong. You can't fix it. Because some of you women, everyone's going to be hard if you say, amen, help me out. But what do we think? We do this all the time. We say, we're going to fix it. We come up with a plan. See, God takes you into places spiritually sometimes that you can't fix it, and you come to the end of you. You come to the end of you, and it's a ugly place, but it's a beautiful place nonetheless. Because in that place right there, there's an exchange made. There's an exchange made. You trained your will, your ability, your knowledge, your desire, and you slide it across the table. And you say, God, I got nothing. Feel the Holy Spirit. He slides back across the table. I got everything. I'm glad you gave up. I'm glad you got to the place where you couldn't do any more else because you weren't doing anything anyway. Now let me send in the help. Amen? I'm glad. You want the recipe? I got the recipe. You ready for the recipe? Here's what the recipe looks like, and it's ugly. All right? Here's where the exchange is made. Verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. God, that's an ugly place. Then they cry. See, that's what's wrong with us. A lot of times, we have beautiful prayers. We have, I'm going to say it, y'all might get mad at me, we have comical prayers. We have stuff that we want other people to hear. Oh God, thanks for letting us, and God, it's just been a good day, and oh Lord, thank you, you know what I mean? And God's sitting there going, I would love for you to get to your wit's end where I could really hear what's going on. I would really like to hear from your heart. I'd love to get past your head knowledge and that thing you tell everybody and those systematic prayers you got. And I would love to dig past that and get down there to where you got no wits in. And I'm willing to take you there to hear it. Whew. Crying out's ugly, man. Crying out is the place where you forget about other people and you try to get to the throne room of God. That's when you come boldly to the throne of grace in the time of need and you forget everybody else. That's when you say stuff like, God, here I am! And I'm sick of that! I don't know how the help will come, but this is what I want you to do. Help me. You know what it says? Look at it. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble and bringeth them out of their distress. Verse 29, He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them up unto their desired haven. Read that part and you're like, thank God we made it to the other side. But there was a lot of stuff lost. There was a lot of pain. There was some death. There was some sickness. There was some friends. There was some valuable stuff that was lost in the storm. Amen. But when you come out, when you cried out and God stabilized everything, you realized all the stuff is important, but there's nothing more important than God revealing Himself in the storm. You're better now. You're better now than you were before you went through the storm. But because, I'm preaching, y'all don't even know it. Hey, listen, before you went through the storm, you were a superficial Christian. You said stuff that you had never experienced yourself. And when you went through the storm, now you can sit and you can put your arm around somebody and say, I don't know what to say, but I've been through something like this before, and I will sit right here until God does something for you or me or us. Praise God, because I know this is real. You compare things that you don't even know. Why aren't people like me? Why don't they do what I'm doing? If somebody would just roll the curtain back and let you live 15 minutes of their life, you'd have done ran out of the church. You'd have done gave up. Here, let's change minds. Let's change hearts. Let's change situations just for a day. And let's see how you come in here and praise. Mm-hmm. You're a better Christian now. Because you're slow to speak and quick to hear and real fast to pray. God, I got this picture in my mind. I can't help it. I got a real good friend on the other side of the mountain. She lost her son. And she'd always talk about that all over and over and over. I never said, just talked about how she lost her son. And then one day, a man over on the other mountain lost his two children. Car flipped over. He lost his two children, and we went over there to help move boxes and stuff and load things. And guess who I seen? Here comes Marcy, walking down through the road, walked past the accident scene, walked up on the porch, and there was a mama sitting there, and all she did was sit down, put her arm around her and lean, and put her head to head with her. And I seen her sit there for 30, 40 minutes and never said a word. And you know what I said? God, you sent a person who's real, who knows. Don't have to say a word. I'm a mama. I went through this years ago. I'm a better Christian for it now because I can minister to you. Because God ministered to me. Now some of you in this room, you've been through some tough things. You've been through some tough trials. But you know what? You're going to walk into people's lives and you're not going to give them all the answers because all the answers ain't going to come. But you're a real Christian now. So you know when to say and what to say. But most of all, you're just going to love them because you needed somebody to love you. We'll go all the way back to the beginning of this message. Don't forget to praise God from where you came from and give Him the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Amen? Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. Maybe some of you are going through a valley.